undercover agent, this time in the form of her new novel, Blowback.
The novel, co-authored with Sarah Lovett, follows the story of covert operative Vanessa Pearson as she searches for the world's most notorious arms dealer. Valerie Plame, thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Well, you started a new phase of life after the leak that exposed you as a CIA operative. How did you decide from there to start working in fiction?
Well, after I did Fair Game, which was really more a catharsis, my publisher came to me, David Rosenthal. He had a new imprint at Penguin and said, "How do you feel about a spy thriller?" And I've always been irritated, frankly, by particularly how female operations officers are portrayed in popular culture. It's just it's not right. There's an overemphasis on sexuality and gunplay. And so I set about trying to write something that I would want to read. And I've worked with Sarah Lovett, and it's been a lot more fun to do than Fair Game.
So your heroine, her name is Vanessa Pearson.
Vanessa Pearson.
Vanessa Pearson, a little similarity there to you, not Veronica or Valerie. But you know, she does, of course, have knowledge that comes from you. You've seen the inside of this world. What was it like trying to bring that to the page?
I tried to make it as realistic as possible. I was really heartened. I did an event a few days ago with a former colleague of mine, Bob Baer, who wrote Syriana, and he said absolutely that all the tradecraft is right. You know, how people really communicate clandestinely, how you move in and out of a country, how you recruit an asset, and all the sometimes tempestuous relationships with your colleagues in the CIA. I obviously, it's informed by my experiences, but I didn't include any classified information.
What did it feel like writing this, having lived it? Were you, I don't know, I guess, was it difficult for you to go through this again in a sense, or was it just fun?
I did that already with Fair Game. That was more personally difficult. This was much more fun. My expertise in the CIA was developed around nuclear counterproliferation, essentially making sure that bad guys, whether they're terrorists or rogue nation states, do not get a nuclear weapon. So it was easy to take that passion and put it into fiction. The first book revolves around a secret Iranian nuclear facility, which is very appropriate because tomorrow in Geneva there is going to be the first high-level talks between Iran and the United States in decades on that very issue.
I wonder, you talked about the difference in the way that the real life was for you as a CIA operative and the way that it's portrayed in the media. What did you want to bring to this character that kind of turned that on its head and made it more realistic?
Mm-hmm. Especially from the perspective of being a female, the challenges, the ambition, but also that it's not, you know, high heels and sequin gowns and playing the numbers at the Monaco casino. There's it's using your head. I mean, that's really your best possible weapon, right? Rather than guns all the time. And also, Vanessa Pearson, she's a young woman. She's still fine-tuning her moral compass, still figuring out judgment, because that's really what they're paying you for, is on-the-spot judgment for in operations, being creative, working well with others. That's an important point that never seems to come across in pop culture, that it really is a team effort. A successful operation is never just one person, although that's much more dramatic. It's really the effort of many, many people all bringing their skills to bear on who's the target, how do you get them, can you recruit them, get the intelligence, and so forth.
Now, if you're the person on the ground who's working with the assets, as you call them, the people who are giving you information and passing on information, how dangerous a life is this? Because I imagine it must take someone pretty special to be able to do this. And definitely the scenes in your book, Blowback, there is a lot of drama and danger there. What kind of person has to do this job?
To get into operations in the CIA, the agency goes through an extensive recruiting process. Very, very few people, I don't know a percentage, of those that apply actually make it in. And then once you're in, you're not done, because you go through a tremendous amount of both paramilitary training and then operational training. You're constantly being evaluated and tested and looked at and scrutinized. So by the time you do get to the field, you should have a lot of those skills. And of course, the saying goes that it takes at least 5 years to develop a decent ops officer, that because it takes that to understand how to move how to move in that world. And as far as danger, it's yes, there are moments, but as I spoke about a moment ago, it's a team effort. So if there is going to be a dangerous situation that you think you might be walking into, you can be sure that there's lots of discreet surveillance and there are security folks around. It's always a calculated risk.
Now, are there any rules or responsibilities that go along with that you feel honestly are just better handled by women than by men?
Yes. This is a generalization, but I think it is fair to say that women are more intuitive. They are much better readers of nonverbal language. And generally, they are less threatening, all of which can be really advantageous in an operational environment. There's obviously things that women can't do. I mean, I have blonde hair and blue eyes. I'm not going to be infiltrating a terrorist cell anytime soon, because it's who's that over there? So you don't go after what you can't get. I worked in my career on where I could be successful. In my case, it was weapons proliferation.
Well, we're speaking right now with Valerie Plame about her new career post-CIA and her new novel, Blowback. And we'll pick up that conversation in a few minutes.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're back now with former CIA covert operative Valerie Plame talking about her new novel, Blowback. And Valerie, we're talking about the kinds of people it takes to do these kinds of jobs. And I wonder about, for you and your main character as you're drawing her, how did you manage stress and fear in situations like that? I mean, I probably hope never encounter a situation where my life is in danger, but I admire the fact that there are people out there who can do that and they do important jobs. But for lay people who might need a little bit of that, what do you say?
Well, as I mentioned, first of all, the CIA does an intensive job of who they recruit in. For the most part, they're really mentally stable, healthy people, unlike what you might see, say, on a show like Homeland. However, I do have Vanessa Pearson, the heroine. She does smoke under stress and also is trying to simultaneously quit, so wears a little nicotine patch, and runs. So none of that is particularly logical, but I actually knew people who did just that. I don't know. It's, for me personally, having gotten, resigned from the agency in 2007. So there's a little bit of, well, now that you're out, you look back, you go, huh, that was a little strange, because at the time you're just swimming in the water with all the other fish and you're doing your best. For me, there was never any magic thing. I loved my job. I was really proud to serve my country. I got incredible satisfaction out of working on these issues of nuclear proliferation. And you get to travel around the world, which I always found was really thrilling. I love that. I'm always interested in people and new places. So it feeds that part of it.
Well, you use real events, real life events in the plot of Blowback. How did you choose what to focus on?
Well, the villain in Blowback was inspired by a Pakistani nuclear scientist named A.Q. Khan, who is under more or less house arrest right now in Pakistan. For some decades, he really was a nuclear entrepreneur in that he would sell nuclear technology to anyone who had had the right money, you know, had the money. He was amoral. So it was important to take elements of that. I really do believe that the proliferation of nuclear weapons, particularly with the, as we have seen over the last two decades, the rise of terrorism, the nexus of that is the most critical thing that we, besides that, in the longer term, is global warming. But what could a nuclear weapon going off in any city in the world would completely change how we function and how our society works. So it's critically important. So that's I wanted to bring attention to that, and it was also fun to write the story around that.
And do you think that you'll ever take your character through the same journey that you went through, having her cover exposed, or will you part ways at some point?
I've got to keep her in the CIA and undercover. Hopefully it'll be a long series. What happened to me was a decade ago, which is hard to believe sometimes, but I'm glad it is in the past. It was a really painful couple years there. And my husband and I and our children moved from Washington a few years ago to New Mexico, and we've been busily rebuilding our personal lives and professional lives.
Now, you've said that there were things that you loved about that job. You loved serving your country. You loved getting to travel. You loved being involved in something that was important to the world and, you know, the safety of people around the world. And you had to, you know, against your will, make this transition to a different kind of life. What was it like going from one to the other?
In my case, it was literally overnight. One day, I was a very private person with a career that I loved. Well, obviously, discretion was paramount. And the next day, I was a public person. And things were said and written about me that had nothing to do with who I was. And it was really, I lost my footing, for it took a while to come to terms with that. And being a public person, but I think the turning point was when I realized that, okay, if I'm going to be a public person, I can speak about things for which I'm passionate, whether it's nuclear proliferation or public school reform or other things that I find meaningful. And so, okay, you know, if I can put it to good use that way and raise money for something or other, all right. But it's not what I would have chosen. If none of this had happened, I would be overseas right now and making my government salary.
And on the other hand, you know, you have, you know, a daughter, for instance, and I wonder what you tell her looking back. What if she wanted to go into the CIA and live the kind of life that her mom had led? What would you tell her?
Don't tell me any details. no, I would encourage it. With both my, I have a son and a daughter. They're twins. And my husband and I speak to them. They know that we are big advocates of public service. It doesn't have to be the CIA. There's many ways to be engaged in your community, whether it's at the local level or further afield. They're just beginning their teen years, so who knows what they'll become and what they'll do. They're interested in so many things. But when I speak with university students, I always encourage them to at least consider a career in public service. We obviously have so many problems. We need really bright young kids going in and saying, huh, has anyone thought about this?
You know, a lot of people, when they go through a life-changing, traumatic event that reroutes everything that they thought that they knew, they frame it in terms of, this happened for a reason, and now I'm on this course, and it was for the best, and now I have this life, and I'm at peace with that. Is that something you did as well? Do you feel like stuff happened for a reason, or if you could kind of have a, you know, a time turner and go back before everything hit the fan and have that old life? I don't know. Would you?
That's fairly philosophical, and a lot of thought would go into that in terms of, did this happen for a reason? All I know is that it did, and I needed to adjust, which we've been trying to do our best. We don't carry bitterness with what happened because that's really useless. But we're watching what is happening in Washington right now very, very carefully. My husband and I are also watching the revelations from Snowden and the NSA and how that has changed the landscape as well. These are, you know, so we still watch, we follow very carefully what is going on in, around us. You know, it was a chapter that was done, and you just have no choice but to pick up and tie your shoes and walk forward.
We've only got about 40 seconds left here, but I wonder what's next for you and what's next for Vanessa, your heroine?
Hopefully a long series. I'm working on, Sarah and I are working on the second one right now, which honestly I think is going to be even better because I have I've kind of figured it out now. Really busy getting this one off the ground. It's happily gotten good reviews, and it's been a really enjoyable experience.
Well, Valerie, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been talking to Valerie Plame, former CIA covert operative and the author of the memoir Fair Game, and also the novel we've been talking about called Blowback.